Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And hello to everyone from perhaps the most important show you'll be hearing on any radio, and that's a show about your finances, about what you do with your money, how you do it, and what you can do. That's the whole premise of our program here. Financial literacy. In other words, learning as much as we can to be financially literate or to be smart about our money, to be smart consumers. We answer those questions, the ones that are hard to find answers to because they're simple. And many times we feel like we should know the answer. And why don't we know the answer? Well, we don't know these answers because we're not properly taught financial literacy in our schools. Now they're starting to do that. It's taken many years out of my life talking about why don't we teach our children to be the very one thing we know they're going to be. They're going to be consumers. And yet we don't demand that they come out of our schools with very much knowledge. Many can't even balance a checkbook. Can you balance your account? That's what I'm talking about. So we want to make sure that you are financially fit. And we ask you that question every week. And the reason we do is because if we can get you on this road, then we know that things are going to work out for you a lot better. So let me ask you, are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? And you understand that, and you know the answers to that question. If you're borrowing money from your neighbors or from your family or from the payday lenders, or if you just don't make it through the end of the week with enough money, that means you're spending more than you make. And that's a prescription for disaster, folks. Simple as that. And do you have 6 months of survival funds in your savings? Well, what is that? Let me tell you what that is. I want you to add up all of your monthly expenses, whatever they may be, mortgage, rent, utilities, food, drink, everything. Get that number. Get that number. And then I want you to dedicate your person to doing one thing. You as a person are going to swear that you will put at least 6 months of that number aside in a savings account, not to be touched. If there's a safe investment that you're not going to lose, okay, to make money. But this is your survival funds. If something happens to you, it simply means that you and your family are going to be able to live for 6 months until you find another job or something good happens, but that you can replace what it costs you to live every month. Okay? There's no surprise here. Nothing crazy about this. Put away 6 months. And whatever that total, if your expenses end up being, say, $2,000 a month with a rent or more, then you put that up, $2,460. You have that in your account. And then I also want you to put aside 3 months of what I call an emergency fund. Now, something always happens. This account is for whatever happens other than a loss of your monthly or annual income. You know, how many times have people said or heard someone say, did you hear what happened to a friend, a loved one, someone you know? And in the twinkling of an eye, you can go from someone who can help to someone who needs help. So you need this emergency fund, just 3 months. Add that up. Put that aside in a different fund, okay? And then finally, I want you to pay yourself. I want you to save at least 5% of everything you make, 5% of your weekly or monthly income. Every payday, every day you make money, you pay yourself. Put aside a little bit for yourself. 5%, and you'll be surprised how quickly that will add up. And I got to tell you, once you are financially fit, you feel so much better. You're not so dependent upon what happens. And it's not easy to do, but it's necessary to do. Okay. Now, the other thing that's important to me is, you know, we are broadcast on radio stations across the country, including what we think is one of the most important of our hookups, and that is with the American Forces Network. And as we approach this week, this coming Friday will be Veterans Day, a time for us to stop and reflect. And in that regard, we have a very special guest today that's joining us here on the program to talk about what Veterans Day means or what it should mean to you. My guest is a young man who spent a lot of his time in the military. As a matter of fact, he is a longtime vet with retired from the Navy. And he's joining us now to talk a little bit about what he thinks all of this should mean to you and how what it means to him. I'm very pleased at this point to welcome him to the program. Myron Portley is author of the new book, Just One Chance, and a retired veteran of the U.S. Navy. He was surrounded by a family with a criminal past, but he chose a different life for himself. Now he hopes to inspire others to choose a different path than the one set before them. He served Japan, Cuba, and Operation Enduring Freedom, and he is retired and he's on the line. Myron, nice to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you for your service, first of all. I wouldn't hesitate to say that to you, and we are pleased. But you have a thought about that. What do you say besides saying thank you? How do you feel about that?
I really feel good when I hear people say just thank you for your service. I remember when I first went to my daughter's school in uniform, and a young man walked up to me and just shook my hand, said thank you for your service, and I felt that all the sacrifices that I had made over these years were worth it.
Wow. So it meant that much to you?
Yes, it really does, because there are so many sacrifices that we make in the military. You miss when your kids are born. Sometimes there's a death in the family, and you're not able to come home for the funeral. So when someone just says, "Hey, thank you for your service," it means a lot. It means like the world.
That is important to know. Let's talk a little bit about where are you now? Where do you live?
I live now in Hemet, California.
Okay. Okay. And you retired when? How long ago?
I retired 4 years ago. Okay. After 20 years.
20 years in the Navy. What was that like?
I love being in the Navy. I spent 12 of the 20 on ships, mm-hmm. traveling the world, learning different skills. So I really enjoyed it.
Wow, 12.
I sort of miss it, actually.
I can hear that in your voice. We're going to take a break. I'm going to ask you one important question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Myron, can you swim?
Yes.
Okay. When we come back, we'll learn more from him. This is an opportunity for you to hear from someone who served his country, served you, protected you, and what he thinks about Veterans Day and how he would like all of us to think about it. We'll be back with more with Myron Portley. My name is Paul Berry. We'll be here for a while.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And we're very pleased to be with you this week, this Veterans Day week, the week for veterans, if you will. Friday is Veterans Day. Remember someone who has looked out after you. We all have members of our family in some form or fashion, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, who serve. And service is important. So, you know, don't be shy if you see a military member in uniform. As my guest, who we're very pleased to have on the program, Myron Portley, a retired veteran of the U.S. Navy and author of the new book, Just One Chance. And he discusses veteran issues, lessons learned while serving, and how the public can show thanks to service members. He was serving his country. Why did you decide to write the book, Myron?
I wanted to write the book to show kids the positive side of the military. It seemed like we always hear a lot of negative things about the military, but the military to me is one of the best options available if you don't want to go to college or vocational school. The military is like the top thing to me to join.
How important was it for you? Did it save your life?
It did. It really saved my life because my family, they all were involved in crime, and we were extremely poor, so everybody did some type of crime. I didn't want to go that way. So I joined the military, even with my family and my friends saying, do not join the military. Stay inside of the family circle. But leaving them was the best thing ever. I went overseas. I saw a whole different point of view of the world.
Myron, I think I understand that. And by the way, I'm a veteran. I'm a Vietnam vet as well. So I put that on the table today with you. So I understand the service. But a lot of people don't. And a lot of people are saying, you know, look, if I send my son or daughter off to war, it's like a death sentence. They could get hurt. They could get killed. How do you respond to that?
You know, I was in 20 years there. I was probably in like two situations. But when you're actually in the military, most of your days is actually no different than being in the civilian world.
Mm-hmm.
You come to work, you get your job assignment, and you spend the rest of the day working to complete your assignment, and you're like in no danger at all, because we're actually you're in hot spots. You rotate in and out, so you're not constantly spots in danger. Most of the time, you're actually out of danger.
Absolutely, that's very true. I mean, it's a percentage basis. If it's, you know, you could be in danger and you could end up in a very hot spot, but probably 90% of the chances are that's never going to happen. And from your point of view, it's certainly worth the risk. I mean, you took a risk, of course, but you survived it and you got home. I'm talking with a gentleman who can make you understand from his point of view, Myron Portley. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about his book. This is Home and Family Finance. This is Veterans Week, Friday, November 11th. Take the time and salute a veteran that you know. We'll be right back. Listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council. We thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. And CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. If there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please contact me at hffradio.com. hffradio.com. And you can go there and you can listen to all of our shows, over 400 shows that we've done over the many years for you. And the topics are listed out by topics, okay? So you can find that as well. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves, a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management, and they can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. So, Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically, and go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as we always indicate, you don't have to be in the service to save. All of us should be saving at least 5% of what we make of all of our income. Put away 5%, folks. You will be pleasantly surprised. You'll be happily surprised. You'll have some dollars in your pocket, and it grows rather quickly. And we're very pleased today to have with us a gentleman who did his time in the military. Myron Portley is author of the new book, Just One Chance, and a retired veteran of the U.S. Navy. He served in Japan, Cuba, and Operation Enduring Freedom, spent 20 years or so in service, has been out now for the past 4 years, and wrote this book. We can see the obvious benefits from, I think, the ability to travel, Myron, meet new friends, go new places. But what are some of the other benefits that may not be so obvious?
You're going to be surprised about the skill set that you attain. If you may think that you're actually doing like one particular job, but that one particular job may be four or five different jobs in the civilian world. As a as an example, when I was in, I was a hold technician, and when I got out, I found out that that skill was welding, plumbing, carpentry, and even quality assurance inspector. So you're gaining a lot of skills.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's going to be there.
Yeah, so you learned your skill, but with it you learned to do a lot of other things, and you were prepared for that when you got out. But by the way, when you retired, did you have any income from the Navy after that many years?
Yes, I did have I had my retirement check.
Right.
And then I had the post 9/11 GI Bill.
Yeah.
So initially I went back to school and used the GI Bill to go to school and had my retirement money to pay my rent and my bills.
Well, you know, a lot of young men and women are coming out of the military. We'll talk about those who are going, but first, those are coming out. What you seem to be saying is that there's opportunity out here if you'll but just get up and decide to do something.
Yes, there is. Sometimes when I see veterans and they're homeless and they're on corners, I wonder about that, because I know that if you go to your local VA, they have counselors there to help write your resume. They have job listings. They have they even have free computers to use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what is our problem with not getting in touch with the VA offices, because they're a great facility to use.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Look, folks, I'm not encouraging you specifically to join the military, but I got to tell you, I did it, and I loved every second of it coming out, because I couldn't afford to go to school either. And now the things that I am doing, I learned in the military. Myron, your book, where can it be found?
It can be found on Amazon, or it can be ordered directly from me at myronportley.com.
All right. And the name of the book is?
Just One Chance.
Just One Chance. And your address again, your email address is what?
Portley@Hotmail.
Portley@Hotmail. Okay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Portley@Hotmail. You know, I'm so happy to have you on the show. I couldn't have thought of a better way to celebrate Veterans Day by making folks understand from someone who's been there what it really is like. Thank you. And thank you to all of our veterans out there, wherever you may be. Myron, we'll talk to you again sometimes. Okay. Look forward to it.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, sir. You have a great day. Coming up next, how about going to school and not having to pay tuition? Possible? Yes. Stay with us.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
Okay, guys, a couple of things before we move on. I want to just remind you that our last guest has written a book. And if you want a copy of that book, you're welcome to. He did tell us how to make contact with him. It is Myron, Myron, Portley, Portley. All right, Myron Portley, Tate Author, Tate. AUTHUR.com. That's how you can reach out to him. That's his website. And then if you want to get the book, it'll tell you where the book is. And the book's title, again, is Just One Chance. Wasn't he delightful? Golly, what a pleasure. One of those people that served his country, served in the Navy for 20-some-odd years, and came out, went back to school, wrote a book, and is thinking about the men and women that he left in service and how important they are to him. So I guess they should be important to us as well. You know, I had the pleasure of raising three children. Tally, Hudson, and Babe are all now college graduates, okay? And I'm very proud. One went to Miami, the U. The other went to UNC. And our youngest graduated from Franklin and Marshall. Now, the beauty of all of that is that they've gotten college education. What is not so beautiful about that is that I'm about $125,000 in debt, still paying off their tuitions. So you can imagine when I saw this information that came in from the folks that represent my next guest, Caitlin Pitzker is a staff writer for Kiplinger, and her article is tuition-free college. I said, what? Tuition-free college? There's no such thing. Well, there is, and I've asked Caitlin to join us to talk about it. Caitlin, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Thank you for having me.
Where were you 12 years ago, girl, when I really needed to?
Oh, well, 12 years ago, let's see, I was figuring out college and, you know, high school for myself even. But so I'm sorry I'm a little late for the game for you, but hopefully we can help out some of your listeners.
I love that. That's why I want you on the show. What would it feel like to go to college and not spend the rest of your life paying for it? And Caitlin's, Caitlin, how'd you come across it? Tell me about the story. What'd you find out here?
So I'm familiar with one particular tuition-free school from our annual college ranking, Berea College. I've worked with them for years. Every student there has financial need. They only admit students with financial need, and they all receive full tuition scholarships. And I started wondering if there were others out there, and it turns out there are quite a few. So I recently wrote a piece about 10 colleges where tuition is free. And when I pitched, a few people in the room looked a little skeptical at first, but there are quite a few out there, and some of them have some really excellent programs for people looking at certain trades and certain fields.
So there are at least 10 colleges where there is no tuition. How does that work? How can I go to a school and they don't charge me anything to go there?
So at most of these schools, students are going to work a set number of hours through a student work program, say 10, 15. It varies from school to school. Or in the case of the military academies, they'll be committing to a period of service after graduation. So there are trade-offs. You're not necessarily, nothing's absolutely free in this day and age. But it definitely can be a savings because the cost of tuition at schools is pretty high for families to deal with. So this can definitely be a savings.
And the other thing that I think is important, too, to tell parents, we hear of all of these great colleges that may not be state-related or you're in the state that you live in. But if you go to a college where you live, generally, if you have a state college, that's going to be a lot less expensive than if you go out of state. Is that a fair statement?
That is fair. So just looking at tuition and fees specifically, going to an in-state school in 2016, 2017, you're generally going to spend a little over $9,000 on tuition and fees. When you're attending a public college out of state, you're looking at closer to $25,000. Little known fact, also I wrote a piece recently actually on ways to get in-state tuition or a closer to in-state tuition rate at an out-of-state public college. So that's also on Kiplinger.com if your listeners are interested in checking that out as well.
Yeah, and let me just remind folks, the entire article, you can go to Kiplinger.com and look under Caitlin's name. Caitlin, I think you just look under colleges or free colleges, but Caitlin Pitzker, P-I-T-S-K-E-R. She's one of the staff writers at Kiplinger. And you can look at the different things that she's written about this, because I promise you that if you listen and read, there's a good chance you can save some money. And it also, the other thing I liked about the articles, Caitlin, is that you give some good arguments as to why we ought to sit down with our children and not let them go willy-nilly picking out any school that they want, because it just sometimes doesn't work that way, does it?
You know, it's really important to have those conversations early, and particularly with this piece, the 10 colleges where tuition is free. Not all of these schools are going to be a fit for every student. Some of them are quite specialized, mechanical trade schools, music schools. You know, that might not be your student, but it really does. There's a lot of value in having those conversations, making sure that they're looking at schools that fit their needs and also that fit your family's needs financially.
And what about the possibility that some people tend to believe, that's not possible because I don't, but that if I go to, say, a military school, Army, Navy, or Air Force, that I'm somehow going to get not as good an education. That's just not the case.
There are some great military academies out there. I think families need to go into that discussion with their student with the understanding that it's not just about the education there. It's about, for most students, a calling to do something in the services. You're making a commitment that you're not making at a traditional school. So yeah. You know, students need to sign on with that understanding.
I'm talking with Caitlin Pitzker, folks. She's got a great article in Kiplinger. You should get it and read about it, especially if you have kids that are about to go off to college, or if you're a grandparent and you listen to your children complaining about the cost of educating their kids. It's just a good starting point. We'll be back with more with Caitlin and talk about those 10 schools and we'll kind of rank them for you. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
You know, there's this belief that if I don't get to college, that somehow I'm not as good as I would be, or I've wasted an opportunity, and that you got to get to college if you're going to be anybody or something in this world. That's just not true, folks. There are options out there. Yes, I think college is wonderful. I sent my three kids to school, and it just about broke us down. I used retirement. I used savings. I used investments to meet the tuitions that it cost me to put these three kids through school. But there are better ways to do that. Indeed, as my guest will tell you, she is writing about it, Caitlin Pitzker, staff writer for Kiplinger. There are at least 10 schools out there in some form or fashion where you can go to school and not have to pay the big bucks. Now, Caitlin, I think the important point that you made is that free doesn't mean it's free. There's always something, some way you're going to have to pay some prices, right?
That's correct. In most cases, the schools that we're going to talk about today require students and their families to pay for required fees, room and board, and books. So there's definitely going to be some expenses, but financial aid is usually available to help defray those costs as well.
Okay, let's go with the best deal, you think.
So we didn't rank these. We do an annual ranking of colleges that'll actually be coming out at the end of this year. These we simply just looked at an overall list group of colleges that are offering free tuition to their student body. But we can definitely talk about a couple of them.
Yeah, top of your list is what?
Let's start with Berea College. It's been one that I've been working with for years because they've been a perennial appearance on our annual college list. Last year they came in at number 93 on our list of overall best value colleges, thanks in part to their full tuition scholarship.
Which college is this? No, I missed the name of it. Which one?
This is Berea College in Berea, Kentucky.
Oh, Berea. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So it's a fairly small school, but it's actually one of the larger ones in this particular grouping, about 1,600 students. Every student who's admitted there has financial need. They don't accept students who don't meet their definition of financial need. And every student's going to receive a full tuition scholarship for all 4 years. That's about $100,000 already off the table. Don't have to worry about it.
Wow.
And their estimated cost of attendance per year is pretty slim, really, because you're still paying for room and board and books and whatnot. But it generally comes down to sticker price, not even including financial aid possibilities, to just under $8,000 for the current academic year. And most students will potentially qualify for some sort of aid.
Right. That's fabulous. Okay. What's next from your perspective?
Let's also talk about College of the Ozarks. It's another one of the schools on this list that's a little bit larger than some of the tiny ones that are out there.
Okay.
It's located in Missouri, as the name would suggest. It primarily serves students from the Ozark region of the country. And it's a small liberal arts college. Really focuses on their student work program in addition to their academics. So students are not going to pay tuition, but instead they're going to work 15 hours a week at an assigned campus job. And that could be anything from working in the admissions office to working in the computer center if they have that type of skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also work 40-hour weeks when classes aren't in session to kind of get that experience of being out in the work world as well.
Well, that sounds fair. And what about the quality of education you get at these schools? Are you losing anything there?
You know, I think every family is going to need to look at these schools just the way they would look at any other school to make sure the curriculum fits what their child is interested in. But specifically College of the Ozarks, it's a small liberal arts college, so it's going to have those same focuses that other liberal arts colleges have, just that broad liberal arts-based education.
And what about availability? I would suspect, Caitlin, and maybe it's not true, that colleges that where there is little or no tuition must have lines that are 5 years long.
Some of these colleges have pretty competitive admit rates. Actually, Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia comes to mind. It has about a 4% acceptance rate, and this is for students who are looking to pursue a degree in the performing arts.
Okay.
But that 4% acceptance rate is more competitive than most Ivy League schools out there, so that's definitely tough to get into. But they're not all of them are that difficult. They're definitely pretty accessible for families who meet the criteria. As I mentioned earlier, some of them are region-specific, such as College of the Ozarks.
Okay. So let's talk about that criteria, because you say that. What can I do? Obviously, being poor is pretty easy to get to that. But what are some of the criteria can I help myself by meeting some of the criteria you're talking about?
Well, most of these things aren't really necessarily criteria that you can change or would perhaps be inclined to change where you live to attend. Like, you're probably not going to move your entire family to be able to attend a school in a certain region. Some of the other schools only admit men, so, you know, that's not really likely to change. So you're not going to necessarily be able to change it, but it is, if there's a school on this list that fits your needs, it may work. You know, if you're looking at a religious education, there are schools on this list that fit that criteria.
Okay, and any other specific criteria that comes to mind that I might need to figure out before I headed there that you see?
I think it really comes down to the same factors that you would look at when looking at any college, whether it's a public institution in your state or a well-known private college. Really, just making sure that the education, the curricula, really fits the student's needs. They offer the type of degree that the student wants. A free education is a great thing, or rather, free tuition, but you still want to make sure it fits the bill when it comes to their academic offerings.
And what about that's the other part, the academic offerings, the choices. Would it be fair to say that if you're looking at one of these schools, your academic choices may be limited?
Probably a fair statement for most of the schools on this list. For example, Barclay College in Kansas, it's a fairly small college, about 300 students. Their degree programs are mostly religious, so if that's your inclination, if you're interested in studying some sort of worship arts or ministry program, that might be a really good fit for you. If that's not you, you might want to look at something else. But there's a lot that are a little bit more catered to a certain portion of the population.
And where do the military schools fit into this list? I mean, they're on the list. We're talking about the Annapolis. We're talking about West Point. We're talking about the Air Force Academy. And I'm sure there might be others that I'm not naming here. Where do they fit on this list?
Right. So we included the military academies on this list because I think many of your listeners are probably aware, but there are definitely people out there who aren't fully aware that these academic programs don't charge tuition. I mean, they actually are one of the few on this list that take care of the other expenses as well. So we wanted to make sure our readers were aware of that, and also let them know about kind of the trade-offs. Of course, you are committing to 5 years of service, so this isn't something you do lightly. You do it because you have a calling to serve. But it can be a really great opportunity, particularly if you want to enter the services as a commissioned officer, because you'll have that 4-year degree that they're looking for.
And folks, that's not a bad thing. My guest is, she's wonderful, Caitlin Pitzker. We're going to get back to telling you what you need to do before you commit a lot of dollars to an education of your child. And does your child need to go to college? We'll talk about that too. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I am pleased to be your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. I'm even more pleased to have Caitlin Pitzker, my guest. She is staff writer with Kiplinger Magazine, and she dares suggest that there are 10 colleges, or several colleges out there, that have no tuition. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to pay it something. You got to pay something in some form or fashion. And that's what we've been discussing. And I think I'd like you to finish out that list so that folks have a sense of what else is on there, Caitlin. Go ahead.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. We've talked a little bit about the military academies and a couple of the larger schools on the list, but let's talk about a couple of the smaller ones. And, of course, your listeners can go to Kiplinger.com and check out my recent piece on 10 schools where tuition is free and get a little more detail on each of them.
Absolutely.
So let's start with Webb Institute. It's in Glen Cove, New York. It's right off the north. It's on the north shore of the Long Island Sound. And I think one kind of interesting thing about this is there's only one academic option, so it really underscores the importance of making sure it's the program you want. But if you're interested in naval architecture and marine engineering, Webb Institute might be the right fit for you. Full tuition scholarship, it's going to come in at more than $47,000 that you're not paying for the 2016-17 academic year. And then families will generally pay about $15,000 each year for their other expenses. But it's a whole lot more affordable than paying for a you know, tuition fees removed, right, the whole nine yards.
So how do you, that's the other question. How do, if I'm interested in, how do I search these schools? Is there a way to do that? Obviously, your article makes it a lot simpler, but, you know, if I want to really figure out where these are and what's going on, how do I research this?
You know, that's a really good question. I will say reporting this was a little bit challenging, particularly because some of the schools are quite small.
Yeah.
The Webb Institute, which I just mentioned, has less than 100 students. One of the other schools on the list, Deep Springs College, has about 24 students. So it can be a little challenging, especially the smaller ones. But if you particularly have an interest, let's say your student, from our last example, has an interest in naval architecture or engineering. If you're looking for those specific programs, you may start to stumble across some of these programs yourself. But really, I think my list might be a good place to start for people because they are a little bit challenging to find in some cases.
Yeah, I imagine so. And then, but it's but I think the thing that you got to do, Caitlin, is you got to sit down and take time and decide, first of all, does my son or daughter need a college education? Is that the best thing for them? Now, that might sound kind of cold because you're talking about dollars and other things that come into factor, but that's fair to look at, isn't it? Everybody doesn't have to go to college.
That's right. There's a lot of other options out there. I personally haven't written on that recently, but one of my colleagues did. So we have a story on that as well, some of the kind of trade programs and other options that are out there for people who may not be interested in going to a traditional four-year college.
Well, I think the thing to think about, too, and you, I know that you've spent the time in college, it's never too late. I mean, if you get into a college and decide it's not right for you, you can reverse field. Or if you go to a vocational school and you decide that you really want to go to college, you can. You always have the option. You don't lose one option because you choose another, right?
That's right. There are plenty of students who go to a school. You always hope you send your kid away to a school, or even if they're local, they attend a school that really just – it fits. It's a good fit for them. They're happy. They're getting the education that they want. But if it's not the right fit, plenty of students transfer. Plenty of students change their mind on majors. It's not necessarily ideal. You like to try to keep that four-year course on track, but it's not the end of the world. There are certainly options out there.
And I've got somebody just sent me a little note. They wanted to say, they said, what about offshore, Bahamas or Jamaica or places like that? Is there any way that we can research the cost of those schools and the availability of them?
I personally haven't done any research on that. All of my work has been pretty much, you know, U.S. States. I haven't looked into.
Right, I haven't either.
But there are things out there on that.
But there's, but and if you were going to start to look there, where would you go? How would you? And I know you haven't been there, so I'm not trying to throw you a curve. I just mean, what would be your first instinct to say, okay, let me go to a specific country, or is there a list somewhere of offshore schools?
I think I would take a look just. Start with a general Google search, particularly for perhaps a field of study that your student is interested in.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, you can start to look for schools that are perhaps located in some of the U.S. territories or overseas, because there could be a good fit over there. But especially when you start dealing with schools that are out of country, financially it becomes a little bit more of a question, depending on where that school is located specifically.
Yeah. But take your time and do the work. And Caitlin, thank you for doing the work that you've done. A list of schools, it's a great start. It's a great departure point to know that there are schools out there. And it's also a great departure point for how you think, to kind of broaden your scope as to what you're looking for your child or for yourself. Thank you for being with us. Would you come back again and visit us soon?
Thanks for having me. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
All right. I'll look for your next article, and I'm sure I'll be calling you. Okay. Thank you, Caitlin Pitzker with Kiplinger. And thank you, folks. I hope this has helped add it to your discussion so that can be broader in terms of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it for you or your children. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Have a great weekend, and happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service.